Number of verses about the Holy Spirit as we continue our study of the Bible on the Holy Spirit and the Christian. And as we look at these verses, you will have get a pretty good idea about what we are going to be talking about this morning as we think about the Holy Spirit. So if you will turn with me, we're going to start in the Old Testament this morning. And we're going to start by looking at Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10. Zechariah chapter 12 and verse number 10. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and supplications. And they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourneth for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. And I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications. Now, if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 6 will be our next verse. Galatians 4, 6, and because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Turn over a couple pages to Ephesians chapter 2. And then verse 18. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Then a few more pages. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 18. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Then Jude, verse 20. Jude, verse 20, but ye, beloved, building up yourselves in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. And then Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. Romans chapter 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. as we read these many different verses, it's hard to help, not help, but seeing that the Holy Spirit bears a very intimate relation to the prayer life of the Christian. The Holy Spirit bears a very intimate relationship to the prayers of a Christian. It's an amazing thing. We think about the Holy Spirit in many different ways. But over and over and over and over now we see that the Holy Spirit is very directly and intimately related to the prayer life of a believer. Now, of course, the Bible tells us that when a person gets saved, they start praying real prayers. When a person gets saved, they start praying real prayers. If you turn back to Galatians chapter 4, and verse 6, it says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son, crying, Abba, Father." And what is it describing? It's describing the fact, twofold, that when a person gets saved, the Holy Spirit gives them that sense of sonship, of birth, of belonging to God. You know, someone has said that when you get saved, you don't approach God like a beggar. You approach God like one of His children. There's a big difference, isn't there? There's a big difference. And the Bible tells us that immediately when a person gets saved, the Spirit of God puts within their soul this sense not only of belonging to God, but the sense of being able to approach God. And it is a sense of prayer. A sense of prayer. The word Abba, Father, we would compare that to a little child just coming to their father and saying, Daddy. Daddy. And it's just natural, normal, it's real. It's real. And so the Holy Spirit is the spirit of prayer that is given to us when we get saved. You know, lost people, they have to have written prayers. You know that? Lost people have to have written prayers. You know, formula prayers. You know, I can remember as a little kid, I don't even remember how it goes, you know. You pray this certain prayer, you know, when you're going to eat something. You know, you pray this prayer. And if you're going to go to sleep, you say a formula prayer. Lord, I lay me down to sleep, you know, whatever. You know, you got these formula prayers. You couldn't ever think of those things. I mean, you don't know how to pray. You don't know what to pray. And, you know, isn't it just almost disgusting when you hear, an inauguration or some big public official, and here's this guy, you know, some Reverend so-and-so, and they're up there and they're supposed to be praying, you know, and they're reading this thing. Prayer? It's not prayer. You don't go to your father and say, Dad, now, there's no, you don't do that. When you get saved, you get the Spirit, the Holy Spirit. It's the Spirit of prayer. It's the Spirit of belonging. It's an impulse. Can we say it's an impulse to make prayer the normal response of our life? Now you got to think about that. Do you know what? For an unsaved person, the normal response to anything in life, for a lot of things, is just plain complaining. You know what I mean? Complaining or blame shifting or belly aching or whatever. And what is the Bible teaching us? That, hey, we're saved. We can go to our Father. That can be our response. Prayer is the impulse of the Holy Spirit within a believer's life. Prayer. Kind of spontaneous. It kind of gives us that idea, doesn't it? So the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of prayer. When you get saved, you get the Spirit of prayer. What a difference. You know, as I was thinking about my lost condition before I was saved, boy, that you just didn't ever pray. You might have went to church and heard the preacher pray, but you know, you just didn't pray. You just didn't pray. Wasn't a part of your life. When you get saved, the Spirit of prayer comes to live within you. Another great truth that we read is that the Holy Spirit is the key to right praying. The Holy Spirit is the key to right praying. Now the text we read this morning says, and we know, this is the confidence we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us. And if we know that He heareth us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. Now, how do you respond to that? What do you think when you hear that? Are your prayers just kind of like a stab in the dark? You know what I mean? You know, just a stab in the dark. We're just praying for whatever. And, stab in the dark. Not really have any idea if God's going to answer the prayer. If God wants you to pray that prayer, you know, it's just like maybe just praying a list. You know, let's try this one. Let's try that one. Let's try that. Well, the Bible says that right praying comes from the Holy Spirit. Right praying comes from the Holy Spirit. We've read a number of verses. The Bible tells us that in Jude that one of the keys to living faithfully for God in the last days is what? Praying in the Holy Ghost. Boy, it sounds to me like right kind of praying. Ephesians chapter 2, We were there. We want to look at that. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 18. It says, through him, that's through Jesus, we both Jews and Gentiles, are saved, have access by one Spirit unto the Father. So, the Bible tells us that by the blood of Jesus, it's through him, but it's in the Holy Spirit, we have access to the Father. Tells us here that the Holy Spirit is the author or the source of our prayers. He's the author and the source of our prayers. You know, our prayers most come from our head, although it's used in it. Our prayers are supposed to come from the Holy Spirit. You know, what's it saying? If our prayers are coming from the Holy Spirit, then we could say, aha! I know that he hears this prayer and it's going to be answered. If our prayers are from the Holy Spirit, he's the author and he's the originator. He's the worker. We can with confidence be praying knowing that our prayers are going to be answered. So the Holy Spirit is the key to right praying. Now notice some of the ingredients of this. Let's look at a couple things. First of all, turn to John chapter 15. And you know, when you get saved, there's one of the learning experiences of getting saved is being able to detect the difference between your spirit and the Holy Spirit. And the Bible gives us one of the little keys to that in John chapter 15. It says in John chapter 15 verse 7, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Now you say, now, Pastor, you're talking about praying in the Holy Spirit. I don't see the Holy Spirit in that verse. Well, let's think of the verse. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. Then turn with me to Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3 verse 16, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Well, if you compare that to Ephesians chapter 5, it says, and be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, chapter 5, verse 18, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Well, here in Ephesians, it says being filled with the Spirit. In Colossians, it says being filled with the Word of God. And John chapter 15 says, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what you will. We see that direct relationship between being filled with the truth of the Word of God and being filled with the Holy Spirit. We see that great relationship with that we're to pray in the Holy Spirit, and that if we, the words of God abide in us, we will ask what we will and it shall be done. Holy Spirit and the Word of God work together. They don't work apart from one another. You know, if you want to know the difference between the Holy Spirit and your spirit, then you need to be in the Word of God. And you need to be, have your heart filled with the Holy, with the Word of God. You know, a lot of times I talk to people and, you know, just strangers or whatever. And sometimes even backslidden Christians. And they'll say, how you doing? He says, how you reading your Bible much? Oh, I'm not reading my Bible, but you know, I'm praying all the time. You ever heard that one? Wrong praying. It's wrong praying. You know, they're praying their will. They're praying their spirit. The Bible says right praying is being rightly related to the Word of God. Right praying has to do with being filled with the truths of the Word of God. Right praying has to do with obeying the Word of God. Right praying has to do with filling your mind and your soul with the will of God as revealed in the Word of God. Right praying. And so the Bible tells us the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And so we have right praying. The Holy Spirit uses the Word of God to lead us to pray correctly. It likewise teaches us a very simple truth. That right praying comes from being rightly related to the Holy Spirit. We can't pray correctly when we're grieving the Holy Spirit. We can't pray correctly if we're resisting the Holy Spirit. We can't pray correctly if we're not yielding and surrendering ourselves, the Holy Spirit and His will for our life. We can't pray correctly. We're not praying in the Holy Spirit. We're praying in ourselves. Wow. Wow. What an important truth. Our relationship to the Holy Spirit is the key to our ability to pray. And not only does it mean to pray the right kind of prayers, but it is the impetus, it is the origin of praying. You know, we all know that we ought to pray. But sometimes it takes... maybe we could say it facetiously, it takes a miracle for us to get to pray. You know why we don't pray? Or let's put it this way. If we're rightly related with the Holy Spirit is the originator of prayer. And it will cause us to pray. It will bring us to want to pray. The Holy Spirit is intimately involved in the prayer life of the believer. And He is the key to us praying rightly. Praying prayers that we know are from God. Praying prayers we know are according to God's will. Praying prayers that we know God will answer, and therefore we can pray in faith. It's a relationship that the key is the relationship we have with the Holy Spirit. Now the Bible also tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper in prayer, our great helper. And I realize this is very close to what we just said, but let's turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The Bible tells us that the Holy Spirit is our helper in prayer. He is our helper. You know, it's teaching us a great truth that when we get on our knees to pray, we should be looking to the Spirit of God to show us, to lead us as to how to pray. You know, it would be better, you know, I'm not against lists, but it would be better to get on our knees and say, Lord, Lord, put on my heart that which I ought to pray for. Lord, Lord, lead me in my prayer life. Lord, lead me what I ought to pray about. Lead me what I ought to pray. And you know, it indicates that the Holy Spirit is there helping us pray. He is our helper in prayer. What a great truth that is. The Holy Spirit is our helper in prayer. We've already said it. But the Holy Spirit is the one who brings prayer that have results. The Holy Spirit is the one who brings prayers that have results. First John, let's read it again. First John 5. Verse 14, and this is the confidence that we have in Him. Then if we ask anything according to His will, there's the Word of God, isn't it? He heareth us. And if we know that He hear us, whatsoever we ask, because we are right with the Spirit of God, we're depending upon the Spirit of God. Our mind is filled with the truths of God's Word and God's will so that we pray correctly. We know that we have the petitions that we desired of Him. The key to answered prayer is praying in the Holy Ghost. And we've defined what that is. It's not like the charismatics who have some dab-a-dab-dab praying. No, this is real praying. This is real praying where the person is right with God, being led by the Spirit of God, filled with the truth of the Word of God. And they sense of what God wants them to pray about. And they sense that this is what God wants them to pray about, and they must respond in faith. They must respond in faith. Yes, Lord. Not only will I pray that, but Lord, I will pray that in faith. The result was the confidence that that prayer is going to be answered. But it goes beyond that. The result is answered prayer. Answered prayer. You know, that's the difference between general prayers and specific prayers. General prayers are the kind of prayers that we can pray, and we never have to check up on them to see if they're really from the Lord, because there's a nebulous answer. You know what I'm saying? But specific prayers, specific prayers put us on the line. Put us on the line. Whether that prayer is from God or not. If that prayer is from God, well then, it's going to be answered. Now, maybe not exactly in the time that we want, but it's going to be answered. Specific prayers. Because Holy Spirit is the author of prayer. The Holy Spirit is the one who guides us in our prayers. The Holy Spirit is the one that causes us to pray correctly. Holy Spirit is the one who, through the Word of God, brings us to a convincement as to what is God's will according to His Word. Praying in the Holy Spirit. You know, this is, what should I say? This is where really people might say, well, you know, that guy prayed for such and such. And God didn't answer that prayer. And then they ask themselves, well, why? But the real key to that is for the person to say, okay, are you willing to pray specific prayers? Are you willing to pray specific prayers that would put you on the line to see if your prayers came from God or not? Well, that's really kind of putting it right on the line, isn't it? Now, I think that's one of the reasons that a lot of people don't pray. There's a lot of reasons people don't pray. One is people don't pray because they're not walking in the Spirit. And when we're not walking in the Spirit, we don't pray, because this Holy Spirit is the one who makes prayer real, makes it spontaneous. Holy Spirit is the key for us to want to pray and to pray. Holy Spirit is the key for us to pray rightly. Holy Spirit is the key in prayer. You know, I remember the story of a relative of my wife down south. Professed to be a Christian. And you know, a lot of people down south, oh yeah, I'm saved. My uncle was a preacher, therefore I'm saved. You know, been in a Baptist church all their life. They know all the lingo, you know, blah, blah, blah. And so been a member of a number of different churches, and every church he had to give his testimony when he was saved. But he wasn't. He wasn't saved. And this man got married, had some children, and one of his children was deathly sick. And he knew God was the only answer. And he said to himself, I can't even pray for my son. There's nothing but only God can save my son from dying. But I can't pray because I know I'm not saved. He got motivated right there to get saved. He repented of his sin, trusted Christ, became a child of God. Holy Spirit came within him. Now he could pray. God healed his son. He couldn't pray before because he wasn't saved. He wasn't saved. And I'm wondering today, if it really came down to brass tacks, if it really came down to a place that you were in a spot that only God, in answer to prayer, could make the difference, would you be able to pray? I remember when Mr. Griffin had checked out, when he had his heart surgery for 10 minutes, no brain waves, no lung action, nothing. We got to the hospital. All these big time doctors in the emergency room. I counted, 20 or 30 IVs on them. And they were madly giving them different shots. And they'd give them a shot and they'd revived them. And they gave them a shot and it would keep them going for, a few seconds, And then they had to give him another shot to keep him going for another few seconds. And, usually doctors don't want preachers around. Now, this doctor happened to be a Christian. But I said to the doctor, there's a flurry of activity. And I said to the doctor, I'm sorry, should we leave? And he said, no, don't. Only God can make this work. We need your prayers. Only God can make this what we're trying work. If you were in a life and death situation, could you pray? Number one, are you saved? Saying that you're saved, trying to convince people you're saved, that's not going to work, is it? You got to really be saved. Only access to God is through Jesus. But then secondly, are you right with God? Are you right with God? If you had to pray and get answered prayer, could you pray and get answered prayer? Or you'd have to say, I don't know. Witnessing, I've talked to people, and one of the things I asked them, I said, if your best friend was dying, had 10 minutes to live, and they said to you, you know what? I'm not sure. I'm going to heaven. I don't want to go to hell. Can you tell me what I must do to get to heaven? And I'd say that people in there say various things, but most of them have no clue what to tell them. Most of them will have no clue what to tell them. Because they're not saved, they wouldn't know. In fact, I remember talking to this young person from Campus Crusade, and they had been on a mission trip, and so-called, and I said to them, well, oh, you know, the same story. And they said, I don't know what I tell them. But parallel that to what if they're dying and they needed your prayers. And your prayer was the key. I tell you what, if you were a Christian and you really cared about that person, you'd be motivated to confess a bunch of sins right away, wouldn't you? If you weren't right with God. You'd be motivated right away. You'd see about that rebellion. You'd see about that those sins. You'd see the worldliness that are hindering your way to be able to have access to God. And you would see it would be totally worthless. And you'd want to get rid of it mighty fast so that you could pray. The Holy Spirit is the author of prayer. We need to be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit on a daily basis. The Bible makes it pretty clear. We can't be walking in the power of the Holy Spirit if we aren't spending time in the Word of God and really spending time in God's Word. We can't be doing everything else and making our time in the Bible the last thing and the least thing and the shortest thing. Holy Spirit in prayer. I think we all could be challenged today about that. Maybe as a dad, maybe I could put it in a fresh way. Maybe as a dad of a family, what about if you were going to say to your family, this is what we need to pray about? Make it specific. Would you dare do it? Would you dare do it? Would you dare be able to come before your family with a specific prayer that the family should pray that you knew was from God, that God would answer if your family would pray? Well, that kind of puts it down to real earth, doesn't it? And that's what the Bible's talking about. I was talking about praying in the Holy Ghost. Maybe today, get on your knees and ask the Holy Spirit to help you to know what to pray about. Ask the Holy Spirit help you to know how to pray. Perhaps you'd have to go before that and get some things right with God. Because the Holy Spirit is the key to a Christian praying. And there must not be a whole lot of the Holy Spirit working because, let's face it, that's one of the least things in the Christian's life on the average, praying. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we are sobered by how much the Scripture says the Holy Spirit is all about prayer. And Lord, we kind of knew it, but we don't always see it as what a great emphasis there is in the Bible about the Holy Spirit being the author of prayer, the key to right praying, the one who, Lord, leads us to pray that gets right to the throne of God. Prayers that are pleasing to God. Prayers that are just right in line with God's will. Prayers that He wants to hear. Prayers that He wants to answer. Lord, prayers that He will answer. Because it is Your will, His will. Lord, I pray that we would be helped, we would be challenged today about our prayer life and what it says about our spiritual condition. And Lord, that precious soul today that maybe has a profession of faith but not the real thing, Lord, we wouldn't want a desperate situation to come to their life. But if that's what it takes so that they can get right with God, so that they can pray, and you could do that miracle that needs to be done, may it be so, Lord. And help us, Lord, to see the relationship between our prayer life and our relationship with you and being filled with the Spirit. And might we make, Lord, the changes in our heart and our soul, our life, that our life would come in accord with what your word teaches. And with heads bowed and eyes closed, you're here today and you say, Pastor, you know, I'm afraid if my loved ones needed me praying, I couldn't do it because I'm not saved. And the Spirit of God has put things in perspective today about my need to know the Lord Jesus as my Savior and Lord, to receive Him, to turn to Him and repent in faith. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to be saved. Wherever you might be today, just lift up that hand. Might be a really hardest thing you ever did in your life, but say, pray for me. I need to be saved. Anyone here, God is speaking to your heart. Perhaps you're here today and you say, you know, I realize that my prayer life is suffering because I had not been walking in the Spirit. Maybe you know you aren't walking in the Spirit. Maybe you know you aren't right with the Lord. And prayer is something you skip out on Wednesday night. Maybe prayer is almost very little in your life. You know why now? Because the Spirit is the author of prayer. And you say, you know, I got some things I need to get right with God. My rebellion isn't worth it. Not to be able to pray, not to be able to be a vessel for God. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I need to get right with the Lord so I can pray like I ought. And you say, Pastor, pray for me. Anyone here today? Okay. Praise God. Amen. Maybe as a believer today, you've been encouraged. Maybe you've been encouraged to look to the Holy Spirit in your life. Look to Him to guide you, to help you. Be conscious of Him. In your prayer life and be looking to Him, and the Lord has encouraged you to in your prayer life, as we talked about the Holy Spirit. I want to encourage you to look to Him to help you in your prayer life, each one of us. Lord, I pray that you, Lord, would do the work. There's humble hands from humble hearts that have been raised today that need you. And Lord, we all need you more than we even know. But Lord, these have indicated a need. Now I pray that you would answer that prayer. And I pray that their hearts would be willing to let you answer that prayer and to work in their life. That they might, Lord, be in that place where they ought to be. Vessels of God. Vessels in which prayers can be offered and answered. And Lord, we pray you be glorified in what you'll do in answering this prayer. We pray you bless the invitation, Lord. even if there are those who are here that are lost, might your Holy Spirit bring it all together, even at the invitation time today or in the days ahead. In Jesus' name, amen.